Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdys have served this valley for decades because they've found the best price, the best coverage. I don't care whether it's auto, home, life, business, whatever insurance you may need, they'll take care of it. They're the people I trust. All you have to do is spend 2 minutes with any member of the Purdy family, and that includes everybody that works for them, to realize that trust is very easy. Very easy. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. If you missed our interview with Chris Soleri of the Detroit Free Press on the Michigan State situation, you can always go to stevejonesshow.com. All right. I thought Chris gave very thoughtful, in-depth, insightful answers. I think the best it gave me an education in listening to him. That at least gives me a better handle and feel about what it's like there right now. And that'll help me. I know it'll help me out a little bit going into the situation on Wednesday. So it'll be interesting, to say the least. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Just like Nadal's challenge, Federer can't believe it. It's deja vu. That time it was out, it was game, set, match. This time, no! And Federer, the timeless one, reaches 20 Grand Slam titles.
Boy, it's been a privilege watching that career play out. Roger Federer, his 6th Australian Open title, his 20th Grand Slam title. Remarkable. On any surface, even on clay at Paris, at Roland Garros, where Rafa Nadal has dominated, Federer has at least been able to break through there as well. All right, the Eagles are going to play in the Super Bowl on Sunday. You know, everybody talks about the 2 weeks and all the hype. There was very little talk last week about the Super Bowl. But we'll talk more about it this week. Our thanks, by the way, to Nora Princiati. She joined us from the Boston Globe on Friday. That was great. Check that on the stevejonesshow.com podcast. But now let's get Matt Leon, KYW Philadelphia. Sir, always a pleasure. Welcome.
Great to be with you.
All right. this will be the last time we get to talk to you before they play the game. So when you look at, let's talk matchup-wise. When you look at Jernigan and Cox in combination, and we know how the Dolphins hurt the Patriots when they played. We know how Kansas City did. It was pressure up the middle because Brady moves really well in the pocket, but it's almost impossible for any quarterback to move when it's coming right at them. Is it a good matchup, a favorable matchup that you think the Eagles can exploit?
Oh, I think absolutely. I think there are very few times where a Jernigan Cox, you know, against the middle of an offensive line will not be tilted in the Eagles' favor. And I really think that's kind of where I start with this matchup, is not just with Cox and Jernigan, but with that front four. If the Eagles can get consistent pressure with just the front four, as they have all season long, I think that will go a long way towards moving the arrow towards the Eagles in victory. If they can get their front four to consistently make life uncomfortable for Tom Brady, they can do what they do on defense with the back seven, won't have to commit to the blitz and stuff like that. I think that is a real key, and I definitely do think that's a matchup that favors the Eagles.
On offense, when the Eagles go on offense, where do you think the matchups favor them?
I think that I would expect Alshon Jeffrey to have a big game. I think he is a guy that early on it seemed like he kind of struggled. I don't want to say struggled fitting in, but he wasn't quite the big play guy early in the season that people thought he would be. But he got more and more comfortable, obviously working with Carson Wentz. And he's done a nice job with Nick Foles. He was huge in the NFC Championship game, scored the two touchdowns. I think he will be a key on the outside. And I also think you can expect a lot of Jay Ajayi. I think it would be very interesting if he turns out to be one of the key guys on offense after being acquired in a midseason trade, because that so rarely happens that a guy picked up mid-year has that type of an impact. But it wouldn't surprise me to see the Eagles lean on him. I don't think they're ever going to have a guy get 25 carries, but 15 to 20 carries, I think, is very possible, and I think he could be a real key on offense.
How important is the first quarter for the Eagles to get out of it even or in front?
Yeah, I think you just want to get – I don't even think they need necessarily a fast start. I mean, not that you ever don't want to start fast. But if they can get out of that first quarter and it's 3-0 either way, something like that, I think they're going to be fine. I don't think you want to find yourself, obviously, in any situation, but specifically in a Super Bowl, down multiple scores early, because you don't want to get to a situation where you're one-sided. I don't think this is a group that's going to be overwhelmed by the moment, which a lot of times you'll see teams get a little wide-eyed early in the Super Bowl. I think it kind of helps that this is a relatively young team with a lot of guys who probably might not know any better, for lack of a better term. You know, they're so young and so new to all this that they don't realize how big the moment is in a way. So I would be surprised if you kind of had that deer in headlights look early in the game. If you get into the second quarter and this is a close game, I would be feeling pretty good about the Eagles.
How interested are you by the plan of attack that Doug Peterson has? There's something inside of me that says, I think people would think that, hey, maybe we'll go safe early with Nick Foles, and then once we get in the groove, then we'll kick it up. Mike got telling me he's going to go for it right away, and I think and maybe surprise a lot of people and just turn Foles loose.
Oh, I think I would be surprised if they played it close to the vest, because they haven't done that. You know, you look at the first play against Atlanta in the playoffs. You know, nobody knew Foles had looked terrible the end of the season. Everybody thought, oh, they're going to run the ball 50 times. First play was a bomb. They got a pass interference call. Now, it was a terrible throw that died halfway in the air, but it was the thought of, you know, going right for it, and going for the jugular early. And that's kind of been Doug Peterson's thing. He is aggressive. Fourth down, they go for it. It's interesting. The one game where I thought he coached conservatively and didn't coach to the way he has all year was the game in Seattle, when I thought he didn't take chances. I thought he took some situations, some fourth and short situations near midfield that he normally would go for it, and he didn't. And lo and behold, they scored 10 points and lost on the road. So I agree with you. I think they will do what they're going to do. They aren't going to try to ease into this one at all. If they think they can go over the top and get an advantage early, they will absolutely do that.
Yeah, I've just got a gut feeling they're going to go for it, and by doing that, I think they have a chance to make it a very entertaining game if they do.
I'd be surprised if this one's not fun. I would be too. Really surprised if this is now. Granted, we've seen them before, where I'm sure if we had this conversation leading up to 15 other Super Bowls, we'd probably say the same thing, that it's a great matchup. And sometimes that extra week of preparation and just the stage, you know, kind of takes things off the rails from what teams normally do. But that is not something I'm expecting here. I think this one, I mean, obviously the Patriots aren't going to be overwhelmed by the moment.
Well,
I would be surprised if the Eagles are. And I think this should be a good one.
In fact, in the last 20 years, the game, for the most, I'd say the vast majority of the games over the last 20 years have fulfilled the hype.
Oh, yeah. We had that run, I guess it was from the early 80s to the mid-90s, when a lot of the games were just absolute dogs. No, I agree. The games have been much better, I would be surprised if this one doesn't fit right in.
All right. So the fact that it's indoors, so you talk about that pass dying in the air. What about that? Is that any factor at all? I mean, it's probably a factor for both place kickers. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it's an advantage for the offenses, because you can pretty much run what you want to run. You don't have to worry about the wind in your face. You don't have to worry about the you know, the frigid conditions, and so it's probably a plus for both teams, you know, coming from where they're coming from, you know, where they have dealt with the wind and the cold here as of late. You know, I think it opens up the entire playbook, and you're not worried about the situations where, you know, well, maybe we shouldn't put it up because it's 20 miles an hour in our face, and, you know, and stuff like that. You know, I think it helps the offenses a little bit, but I don't think it's a huge deal.
Right. When you look at, I want to ask you about Brady for a moment, because I've never really asked you about usually about other teams, but I want to ask you, when you watch Brady, what do you see?
I see a guy that's in complete control of what they want to do offensively. I see a guy that really trusts everyone and anyone on that offense, is comfortable putting the, you know, making anyone the star. A guy that can create time in the pocket, a guy that does not turn the ball over. I mean, you know, he's phenomenal. You don't win five Super Bowls by accident. So it will be a big challenge, and that's kind of why I come back. If they can get pressure on him, he's not going to turn the ball over five times. Like, when you say pressure, you don't mean that, but just get him off his point, get him off schedule a little bit, where you maybe make that offense really have to struggle and work for everything it earns. I think it's a good thing for the Eagles.
How energized is this city about this?
Well, it's really neat. People obviously are excited. There's not a lot of – it's interesting. When the Eagles went back in the 04 season, when they went in February 05, there was a nervousness because they had knocked on the door for so long, and they had finally gotten over the hump of the NFC Championship game, and there was more relief than joy, I think, that finally they got there. And I also think there was a nervous of they've got to do it. I don't think you have that this time, because you look at this as a team that no one expected anything out of coming into the season, and then no one expected anything out of coming out of the Wentz injury. You know, when Wentz got hurt, everybody was kind of like, well, it was a nice run, but, you know, they're probably not going to, you know, be what they are. Then remember when the playoffs started, people were saying, oh, this is the weakest number one seed in the NFC, in NFC history. This is, every other team in the playoff field has a better chance than the Eagles of going to the Super Bowl. So you got a group and a fan base playing with house money here, that also the fans realize, I think, that with Wentz, the next 5-7 years are pretty bright.
Yeah.
I think they've got 20 of 22 starters under contract for next year. So they are in a really good place. And while you never know what the future holds and anything can happen, they are built for the long term here. So I don't think there's that white knuckle. They have to do it now. And strangely enough, even the history isn't, you don't get people that feel like, you know, they've never won it, they've got to do it, they've got to do it. I think people have genuinely been so surprised and taken with this ride. They are just enjoying the ride. Now, obviously, I'm looking forward to the drive-in on Monday morning after the Super Bowl to see what the city looks like if they win. But you know, there's not that worry about the bottom falling out, if you will. I think there's just genuine excitement and energy for this to happen.
That would be an interesting ride. I don't think
no one knows what to expect. I mean, I was here for the Phillies parade, and that was a lot of people. And that'll look like a tea party compared to if the Eagles win. I mean, this is something I don't think people can quite put together in their heads what it would be like if they win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, because the two previous Eagles teams that went were so tight going into the game. I mean, like tight.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Dick Vermeil will probably be the first to tell you that, okay, maybe he didn't handle the week leading up well enough. And then the other part is, I mean, any time that you've got a on the final drive of the game, you have your quarterback in the huddle not exactly holding it all together. you know you've got a problem.
Yeah, no, this is the best chance of the three by far to win a world championship, just because of the where the team is mentally, how they got here. And I really think they're going to be loose and ready to go, and that will be in stark contrast to the other two times.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Appreciate it. Chip and dip at your place this weekend.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks. That is Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, welcome back. This is... obviously, the Michigan State said, we'll do the show from East Lansing, not because we're so clever and so out front on everything. It just turns out that Penn State basketball is playing there Wednesday. So we will do the show from East Lansing on Wednesday. I certainly will have some sort of feel for what's going on by the time I do the show on Wednesday. I'll definitely have a greater feel once I'm in the arena on Wednesday night, and I'll probably have more to say about it on Thursday. How much more I'll say, we'll see. But you at least get a better read on something once you're actually there. Whatever I can find out along the way that adds to what we've heard so far, I will certainly add to it on Wednesday and Thursday there on the ground. We'll fly in there tomorrow night after this show is over. We're scheduled to leave at 7 o'clock and go in there. So, that's where we are. Really nothing I can add to it except what's been written and reported. It seems like there is something new there coming out every day. As Chris said, and people here in this state know it, it's like you feel like it's a story that never ends. Well, right now for them, that's about how they feel. They feel like it is the story that never ends. Tom Brady cut off his interview today on WEEI radio. He's on every week. I think he's on twice a week on WEEI. He's usually on Mondays and Fridays. Well, I guess Monday's usually the day. And the two hosts he was on with, Kirk and Callahan, on their show, had nothing to do with this story, but a member of the WEEI broadcast group had made a comment about the Tom versus Time documentary. And, of course, Brady's family was a notable part of the Tom versus Time documentary. And one of the other hosts, the evening host, Alex Reimer, I think he's in his mid-20s, on his own show or another show, called Brady's daughter, is it Vivian, I believe? All right. Referred to her as, after watching the show, quote, an annoying little pissant. All right. Well, today, Brady was scheduled to be on the show, and he showed up, and he cut it short. He said, look, I've tried to come on this show for many years and showed you guys a lot of respect. I've always tried and come on and to do a good job for you guys. It's very disappointing when you hear the comments about my daughter. My daughter, or any child, certainly doesn't deserve that. Well, Tom Brady is exactly right.
I have the audio if you want to play it.
Sure. If you have it, I'd like to hear it.
Yep, it's only like a quick minute and a half. Okay, this was this morning, Kirk and Callahan show on WEEI.
You know, I do want to say something. I mean, I don't want to get into the documentary much, but I did, you know, Stacey had told me that someone had made a comment about my daughter or something like that.
Yes, yeah. Tom, we were just talking about it. It was Alex Reimer, and Jerry and I talked about it Friday. It was a stupid thing to say. We destroyed him for saying it. You can say whatever you'd like. Go ahead.
Well, I think that, I've tried to come on this show for many years with, and showed you guys a lot of respect. I've always tried to come on and, you know, do a good job for you guys. So, it's very disappointing when you hear that, certainly with my daughter or any child. They certainly don't deserve that. So,
no, Tom, no question. Yeah, As I said, Jerry and I talked about it on Friday. Stupid thing to say. He was suspended for it. He should be. There are certain things I think you understand. As a professional athlete, you're going to be criticized for what you do or on or off the field as an individual. But for a kid to be criticized is unbelievably stupid. There's no defense for it.
Yeah. So, all obviously evaluate whether I want to come on this show again. So I really don't have much to say this morning.
That's fine. I understand. That's totally fine.
I will. Maybe I'll speak with you guys some other time.
Absolutely fine. We understand.
Have a good day.
All right, Tom.
Thanks.
You too.
That was on the Kirk and Callahan show on WEEI this morning. We're going too far. I have five children. At one point, all five of them were 5 years old. I have four grandchildren. Two of them have passed through the five-year-old threshold. They're kids. They're kids. Kids are off limits. And, okay, I'll say kids are off limits except when you're saying something really nice about them. You could say all the nice things about kids you want. Never, never criticize someone's child. Never, never criticize a child on a broadcast. Never. We've got to get back to cherishing what's really important in life. Children are to be loved and cherished, not criticized by some outside entity about what they think about your kids.
Hey, we're coming to you from the lot at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf. We had to stop because up on their sign, it says 0% financing for 75 months. We had to check it out ourselves. I mean, it can't be right, but it is. Your interest rate will stay at 0% for 75 months. That's over 6 years. This incredible deal is on 2018 Kia Fortes, Optimus, Sportages, and Serranos. There's also no payments for 3 months. Now, that's the best value you're going to find anywhere. Plus, every Kia offers the industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And they have the highest-ranked large car, compact car, small SUV, mid-size SUV, and compact multi-purpose vehicle in initial quality, according to J.D. Power. The sign is true. 0% financing for up to 75 months. Come on, honk if you love it, too.
Wanna see you in Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
We'll see you here at Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotorskia.com.
Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com. JD Power award information, visit jdpower.com. See dealer for details.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business. Whatever insurance needs you have, they have experts in each field. They'll make sure you get the absolute best coverage. They'll make sure that you get absolutely the best price. All at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Jerry Kramer. One last shot at the Hall of Fame this weekend. He's going to join us on Friday. To say I'm looking forward to that would be an understatement. My goodness, he richly deserves to be in. Just my opinion. I felt that forever. I have expressed that opinion how many times in the show? Many, many times I've expressed that opinion that Jerry Kramer should be in the Hall of Fame. Now, it's always brought up right around Hall of Fame time. So, I mean, you know. But I've expressed it many times. Nathan Davis on the show Thursday. And, of course, the show will be from East Lansing on Wednesday. You can't accuse us of not being in spots where things are happening. Wow. We'll have more on that. Especially once we get there. But that story is one that is constantly um, constantly changing. There just seems like feels like there's new information all the time. Now, Michigan State has now played two basketball games since this came out. They have won both games. They beat Wisconsin with relative ease. Did not have a great first half yesterday. They were about down 13 at the break. And then they outscored Maryland by 19 in the second half. Hey, Michigan State as a team shoots for the season 52%. They shot only 27% in the first half yesterday. Oh, and then they shot 53% in the second half yesterday. They usually clobber teams on the boards. They clobbered Maryland on the boards yesterday. They hit as many free throws yesterday as Maryland attempted. And this is a shot-blocking team. It's a tough team to work against inside. This is a shot-blocking team. So that's what they have coming up. And again, who knows how the crowd's going to react? I have no idea how the crowd's going to react. None. I mean, is it excited? Is it subdued? Is it going to be a crowd that's in there that just like we don't know what the, you know, it could be one of those moments where you're looking around saying, we don't know what to think. It's just one of those you're going to have to see when you get there. And what happens between now and then, that story's breaking all the time. I don't know what to tell you is going to happen between now and then. Just don't know. No. So that's what's going on. Then, of course, the Super Bowl this week. Now, you picked the AFC yesterday, so you're actually in front?
Yes.
So, to have any chance, I have to pick opposite you in the Super Bowl?
For the tie. For the season. Then we have a push.
Huh.
How about that?
Well, okay. So, whatever you pick, I'll just pick the opposite. We'll go from there.
Sure.
You'll either win by two or... That's why I'm going to make you... Go first.
You learned well from your brother. The champ.
I'm not going to sit there and go second. Only an idiot would do that. I'll go first. You pick the same team I do. Hey, wait a minute. Now I have no chance. Oh, goodness gracious. I can't do that. Oh, my goodness.
Going to be fun. We'll have live coverage here on WKOK starting at 2 on Sunday. And on Eagle, and on Eagle 107, it'll start at 5 on Sunday.
Okay.
Good on both.
Good.
Hmm?
Good. I'm happy for Merrill. I did text Merrill. He got back to me.
Oh, good.
He got back to me almost right away. I texted him. You know, just to tell him that, hey, nobody deserves to do this more than you do. And he does. You know, he does. And I'm thrilled for him. You know, you want to see your friends have the chance to do the biggest of the big games. I mean, when Ohio State's been in it, whatever, I've texted Paul Keels before. I mean, Paul, like, sent back texts, pictures, things like that. Like, he really appreciates that you get in touch with him about stuff like that. You know, I'll get texts from people all the time for a big game, which is really nice.
Well, I know it would mean the world for you someday to get the opportunity to call a national championship game. Fingers crossed that is going to happen, since this team right now is just on the cusp of more great things.
Well, at least they put themselves in the neighborhood, and that's a big part of this. Putting yourself into the neighborhood is actually a big part of doing this. And, you know, now what kind of... Do you get a little bit of luck to get you over the top? Things like that. Well, you know, we'll see. But at least you start with the spot. Can you put yourself in a position to play for it? Well, they've got the program in a position to be a contender for it all the time. That's terrific. And then there's the basketball part. Again, Josh Reeves. I'll get into this quickly here. Josh Reeves, and I said this in the postgame show, and I mean it. I mean, I wouldn't have said it if I didn't mean it. Is he a savior? No. But is he a critical part of the engine that makes it run at high speed? Yes. You know, Tony Carr makes certain people around him better. Josh Reeves is the one player on the floor that makes Tony Carr better. Okay, Tony Carr makes all four guys on the floor with him better. And he is the only guy on the team that makes Tony Carr better. You know, certain guys can make other guys better by the way they play and so forth. Lamar Stevens will tell you how much Mike Watkins makes him better just by being out there. You know, Shep Garner will talk about how Tony makes him better because he puts the ball in the shooting pocket, things like that. Josh Reeves is the one player that makes all four guys better, which includes he's the one guy that makes Tony Carr better.
This is probably an unfair question, but since they faced off with each other, you know, just late last week, I'll toss this out there. Who is more valuable to their team, Kata Bates-Diop for Ohio State or Josh Reeves for Penn State?
Well, I watched Ohio State be a 500 team without Kata Bates-Diop last year. And I watched Penn State lose three games that with Josh Reeves, I firmly believe they would have won. So I think that's a push. That's a wash. There's certain guys in this league that make everybody around them better. Kata Bates-Diop makes everybody on Ohio State around him better. I really like how he handles himself. You know, Bates-Diop doesn't force anything. Reeves doesn't force anything. I'll tell you another guy. Here's another guy that makes everybody on the floor better and not enough people talk about because he's surrounded by such great talent. But at Purdue, a player by the name of Dakota Mathias. You watch Dakota Mathias play. He's their best on-the-ball defender. He's a really good passer. He's an excellent rebounder. He makes Carson Edwards better, Vince Edwards better, Isaac Haas better. He does all of that. He's the guy that is, they can run so much stuff through him because of how good he is. Dakota Mathias is one of those players like Josh Reeves. And you know, and he's not going to get a ton of publicity. You watch Dakota Mathias shoot, he is a really good shooter. Really good shooter. He kind of came into Purdue as a shooter. Has just developed into a really good all-around player. But I think you've seen the last two games, getting him back puts more jump into the step of everybody out there. He's your best on-the-ball defender. He's your second-best passer. At times, he's your best passer. He is your third-best rebounder. And when Josh Reeves is out there, I'd say 8 times out of 10, the ball moves. The ball does not stick as much. And you've noticed in the last two games with Reeves back, you notice how judicious Tony Carr has been with shot selection? He doesn't feel now like he has to carry the full burden of what's going on out there. They've got better floor balance with Reeves being out there. It also, the next man up mentality, we talk about that all the time in football. Next man up, next man up. And you'll hear that in basketball. It's not the same in basketball. You don't have the same numbers. You don't have the same depth. The next man up in basketball doesn't happen. The domino effect of next man up is tremendous. Now Nazir Bostic gets to go back to a role that he is comfortable in. I know Naz thinks he can take on a bigger role, and I can tell Naz from doing over 1,000 games in my career that he is slowly working toward what he thinks he can be. Okay? And eventually he's going to be as good as he thinks he can be, and I admire that. But right now, his box of capabilities keeps him in a certain role. He now has to go. Now he's allowed to go back into that box of capabilities where he doesn't have to stray out into a comfort zone that he's not ready for yet. Jamari Wheeler, same story. Doesn't have to stray out into a comfort zone he's not ready for yet. Julian Moore can keep doing what he's doing. Moore had 3 or 4 assists in the game on Saturday. And then there's Davis Zemgulis, who works hard, plays hard, and can fill a role for you in 8 to 10 minutes of the game. That's the domino effect. You get him back, and now guys go back to roles that they are already well-suited for and comfortable at doing. We all have our box of capabilities. Experience expands that box as time goes, because we all know any time that you stray outside of your capabilities, we all know that any time you stray out of your confidence level, you're a little unsure. But experience allows that box to expand and expand and expand, where now you have greater capabilities, greater confidence doing certain things. And that's in any phase of life. I don't care whether it's doing a talk show or coming off the bench at a basketball game. Doesn't matter. Whatever your current job happens to be, think about how much better you are at your job now compared to when you started that job. How much more confident you are in how to handle everyday tasks that in some ways just becomes routine and second nature to you. You're driving the car right now. Imagine driving. You know, can go back to when you were first learning how to drive. Hey, you're 10 and 2, you're looking left, looking right, looking in the mirror. Now, you know, you're really aware of all your surroundings. You're more confident, aware, cautious, but at the same time more confident of what you're doing out there and not doing everything by the numbers in your head all the time. That's with anything, including basketball. Getting Josh Reeves back has allowed people to now settle back into who they actually are at this moment in terms of capabilities. And it's the domino effect of getting a critical part back. Like I said, savior? No. Critical part that really makes the engine run at a great level? Yes. We will come back with more in a moment and wrap it up here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There are a lot of places to get insurance coverage, but only one place in the Susquehanna Valley ready to put four generations of experience to work for you. Hi, I'm Adam Purdy. At Purdy Insurance, we take the time to talk with you and find the right coverage for your needs. Everyone's situation is unique, so our approach is to customize coverage to best protect you. Whether it's home, auto, or business insurance solutions you need, call, email, or stop in to see how our commitment to personal service can help protect what matters to you.
You know what's interesting about this Super Bowl, and I say this with all due respect to Nick Foles, I think the Eagles are actually better at many more positions than the Patriots are. Now, obviously, a quarterback, there's no way you can make that statement, right? There's no way. If you're going to sit there and tell, Nick Foles is better than Tom Brady, okay, at that point, you probably will have the phone call cut off, okay? We'll probably send somebody out to the house, make sure you're okay. But at every other position, think about it. I mean, the Eagles have better running backs. Receivers are close, obviously tight end. I tell you, the offensive line for the Eagles is a little bit better. I think the defensive line for the Eagles happens to be better. I think their linebackers are better than the Patriots. Secondary, I think the two safeties for the Eagles are better. The corners, though, for the Patriots are better. And punters are about the same. You know, Gostkowski, I would probably give an edge at place kicker. But indoors, that's kind of a wash indoors. I think the Eagles are better at more positions. Like I said to Matt, I'd be really surprised, and Matt Leon I'm talking about, I'd be really surprised if the Eagles did not come out aggressively. I'd be really surprised if they came out conservatively. I just got a feeling they're gonna come out and they're just going to say, you know what, here we go. Let's play ball. We're here to have some fun and win.
Well, look at years back to start the second half of a Super Bowl. What'd Sean Payton do? Onside kick at the start of the second half. I mean, that falls into the category of letting it all hang out and not that's progressing and not regressing. I just think that it's well documented with the Patriots, Steve, just what Tom Brady has in his toolbox, what he's able to work with out on the field with him at the same time. That just makes his greatness on the field even more impressive. It really does. Just you don't see all of those all-stars on the team. It's just guys that play.
I mean, the best receiver he's ever had was Randy Moss. Then Gronk would be next. But, I mean, think about it over the years. I mean, who his receiving core has been? I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, they're, you know, hey, let's go to Canton. Well, almost all those guys are buying tickets. They can't get in if as a member. And that's what he said. Same thing with the running backs. I mean, probably the best running back they've had since he's been there in terms of, like, you know, like big-time skill set was probably Corey Dillon. And, yes, Corey Dillon was critical in the last Eagles Patriots Super Bowl. Corey Dillon played really well that day.
Yeah, you mentioned Randy Moss, but you know, you'd be hard pressed to find, you know, who would Brady's, you know, best overall number two wide receiver would. Now, I mean, I put Gronk's in his own category. I don't include Gronk in it, but it could be Terry Smith. Just for some reason, that name popped up for me.
Well, you know, you got to think of obviously Wes Welker.
Yeah,
Julian Edelman.
This is hard. Those names don't come up
Danny Amendola.
Season.
Yeah. Danny Amendola, Deion Branch. So, we'll talk more about that as the week goes on. I am picking opposite Sean, which means I'll go last. Can't have Sean go first and have him play the, oh, I'll pick the same team you are game.
Yeah, King will first and get the last laugh.
I will learn from the feet of the master.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.